Who has a tissue in their pocket? Yeah? Oh, everyone. Oh, my goodness. I mean, is it crazy? Is it just like the year of crazy? Yeah? Man, do you know what my good friend Kate Keeley helped me discover? There are antihistamine eye drops out there. Because I feel like everything is reacting allergy right now. My eyes, my ears, my nose, my throat. Anyone else? Let's all go to CVS after this, yeah? Little field trip, little new song field trip. Well, welcome this morning. My name is Melody, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I am so glad that you are here this morning. Whatever brought you here, if the wind blew you in with all the allergies and the pollen, you are welcome here. And if you call this place home, you are welcome here. So happy. I was gone last week. I took a little staycation with my family, and it's, you know, we miss you. We miss being here. And so glad to be back with you this morning. So welcome this morning. This week we had a couple things going on. The men and the women, and that means student ministries and up, had a wonderful night. The guys had a minute to win it night, and here we have some pictures. There's Grant and all of us stacking some apples. I think there was some dice there on Joelle's. Yeah, look at that. Look at those guys competing. So while that was happening, the women were downstairs hearing all this happen. Look at that good group right there. And we talked about centerpieces and April showers and just how much, you know, you don't have to have a whole lot of money or, you know, go out shopping. Even stuff in your house can be created new. And the point of the night was that God is always working in us and creating new creations. And so what a wonderful week we had together with these groups. So I encourage you, the next thing, make sure you pay attention to and you get to, because those nights are always encouraging. And something that I do want you to pay attention to is happening this Saturday at 9 a.m. It's time for our April hike, new song. Now, let me put this disclaimer in. The first hike was good. The second hike was good-ish, okay? I was like, you guys, this, you know, I told you this is not my thing, but I'll be here. It's great. I'll support it. So the second hike kind of kicked my butt a little bit, yeah? But this third hike, I can vouch for, okay? So there's, I actually don't know what qualifies as a hike. Does that mean like you're at a little bit of an incline? Or does walking count? This is a walking trail, okay? So you will be more than comfortable on this walking trail. We're going to a place in Claremont, and it's beautiful. Just to give you a little bit of context, I used to go to this trail almost every week with my four children. Two of them were on a double stroller, and sometimes my son was on the double stroller too, and I would hold my daughter's hand. So pushing the stroller with one hand, holding a child, so you can walk this hike. So if there's ever one to go to, try this one out. Will you be there? That doesn't sound enthusiastic. Will you be there? Yes? Okay, come. And if you bring a stroller, I'll help you push it. It's going to be great. So if you come on a little scooter, I'll help push you. Okay, so that is this Saturday. Something else that is starting this week, and the first one is this Wednesday. It's April 25th, and we are opening, April 21st. I'm on a lot of allergy medicine, so you might need to replay this on the recording later. April 21st, we are starting a thing here at New Song that's called Be Quiet, and we are opening, is it Sunday? It is Sunday, because Saturday is the 21st. So next Sunday, between 5 and 8 p.m., this will be open for just a time of quiet prayer, okay? So that is just a time. Sometimes there's candles up here. Sometimes it's just dimly lit with a little bit of music in the background. Sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, you know, maybe we're in our house or in our car, and it's just, we just don't get the time to stop and be quiet. And we need that sometimes, and it can be a little bit intimidating to think, oh, I'm going to sit in this room just alone with my thoughts and my prayer. I would encourage you to try it, because some amazing things can happen in the quiet. And that's a completely open time. That's completely up to you. You can stay for 10 minutes. You can stay for the 3 hours. But this will be just a time on your own for you to come and be quiet. Then the next thing we are doing, again, and this is going to be three things that are majorly focused on prayer, because here at New Song, we believe that prayer changes things, and prayer is the one thing we have to go to. We have the creator of the world that we can go to when we go to him in prayer. So the next thing that's going to happen is on the 24th, that is a Wednesday, the 24th, we are going to do something called a pastoral prayer meeting. And so Grant and I will be here. Stephen's going to be with the youth group. And we're going to have some elders here too. And if you've ever been to an Ash Wednesday event here, you know that there is about 15 minutes where we sit with you and we talk. And we just open that to a time of prayer with an individual pastor, an elder. And so that is not at all something that you sign up for. You just show up for between 6:30 and 8 p.m. on Wednesday, April 24th. So again, we encourage you, please take advantage of this. Sometimes, you know, you think like, oh, I don't want to bother them. No, that's not how we want you to be thinking. We want you to come and take advantage of having some one-on-one time. And sure, it will be timed. We will have a little timer going because sometimes the crowd can start to build up. But that is individual time available for you here. The last thing that I'm going to tell you about will begin on Sunday, April 28th. And this is something that I'm going to be the first one to sign up for this, I think, because we are going to have a time of prayer for healing on the fourth Sunday of every month, and that's beginning this Sunday, this month, the last Sunday of this month. We're going to have a time where maybe you need some healing prayer. So, for example, I have an injury that is just not going away. So I asked Grant, I said, can I be the first one to sign up for this, please? And he said, absolutely. Maybe you have some ailment. Maybe you have a struggle. Maybe there's something that you need to confess. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is that you need healing from, we are going to pray for that. And that is going to be 100% confidential and 100% just focused on the God who can do the work in you. Okay? So that is Sunday, April 25th. For that one, we will ask you to let us know that you're coming. So you can call the front office and let Nancy know, hey, Nancy, my name is Melody. I'd like to sign up for pastoral healing on the 28th, or you can let Grant and I know, you know, after service one day and say, hey, I want to be there. You know, we will say, okay, maybe there's going to be a day where you feel like, okay, I'm just going to jump in and do it now. That's okay too, but we would like to plan for that time, okay? So does that make sense? Three different times where we are going to be intentionally focused on prayer. Be quiet. That's self-guided. That's you show up here. It's going to be an open time. There is the pastoral prayer meetings. It's about 15 minutes with a pastor or an elder. And then the third thing is the healing prayer, healing, asking God for healing. Okay? So I encourage you, again, we believe in these things, you know? And someone said to me this week, and that song that we just sang was so appropriate, you know, nothing is wasted, no mistake, no failure. I was sitting with someone this week, and I said, you know, this time is not wasted. You're learning something. You're learning something, and you learned what you want. You learned what you don't want. Let's pray that God will continue to show you the way. So I pray that you take advantage of that time. Okay, the last thing that I want to tell you is that next Sunday, make sure you bring your dollar bills, because guess what? The student ministries are starting to fundraise for their summer camp, okay? So they are going to be selling pizza next Sunday after church. And again, this is one of those things that we want every child to go to summer camp. And they're going in August, so we're starting early. And next week, they're selling pizza. So make sure that you come hungry, and let's bless the kids with our support. Yes? Yes, and one thing that the high school is doing, this is just for high schoolers, okay? Just for high schoolers, they are having a bowling night on the 28th, and you have to register online for that. So Stephen's with the kids in the other building right now, so if you have any questions, please make sure to catch him. If you don't know who Stephen is, we will point you in his direction. All right, I think that's it. First sermon of the day done. Yeah? let's pray together. And, you know, there's so many things going on in the news right now. If you're watching the news, there's so many things happening locally, globally, happening in our own homes. And sometimes when we focus in on all the things, it seems overwhelming, but God is never overwhelmed, and his hand is in everything. So let's go to him and put everything in his hands right now. Lord Jesus, I ask you for our world, God, for just the things that we're watching on the news, for I ask you for the way people are reacting to things, and everything turns into a debate back and forth, and while lives are being destroyed and lives are being lost, and Lord, be with those we can't be with, Lord. Lord, would you extend your peace and your comfort to the ends of the earth, Lord? Lord, sometimes we're so far removed from it because it's not in our face. It's not happening to us, Lord, but it is happening to us as a human race, Lord. And our hearts are aching with people who are aching today, God. God, I pray that your hand be in all those things, Lord. I pray for protection. I pray for mercy. I pray for compassion. And Lord, I pray for hearts. God, I pray for hearts as this continues to be the world we live in. God, I pray for just people here today, whether they have come this morning, they're grieving something, where they have come this morning and they're happy about something, whether they come this morning, they're nervous about something. Lord, whatever it is, I ask that you also extend your hand into everyone's hearts here this morning, God. God, would you fill us with your peace and your comfort? And would you speak to us maybe through a song, maybe through what Grant is about to share, Lord? Lord, I pray and I thank you for this time and space, God. Would we remember, Lord, that we have access to you and that we have access to come to your feet and say, I've messed up, or I wish I wouldn't have done, or I wish I could, or whatever it is, Lord. Lord, would we put things at your feet, God? God, you are the maker of all things, and everything we have is yours, God. And when we leave this world, we leave everything behind, Lord. Would we walk with you all the days of our lives, Lord? And would we remember to look to you in prayer and look to you for wisdom and look to you for mercy, God? God, we call this in your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Grant.
Melody. Thanks, Melody. Hello. How you guys doing? Did anyone feel like just staying in bed this morning? Because it was the weather? You guys are really temperamental with the whole weather thing, aren't you? You know, I love it. I love this weather. I mean, because it's the variety, right? Makes you appreciate the sunshine, right? And if it's just sunny all the time, I think that would become very dull, right? You can have too much of a good thing. No? No one's feeling me? Okay. Well, let's get straight back into this sermon series, Family Business. We're taking the word family and kind of making an acronym of this. Last week, we did the first three letters, and the first one was faith. The second was action, and the third was mission. And faith, we talked about belief. What we put our trust in, what we believe to be true in this world, and then particularly in concerning the Christian faith, those who follow Jesus, There's so many things we can believe. There's many things we can be told we should believe to be able to say that we're a faithful follower of Jesus. We have this on the wall here in Essentials Unity, in Non-Essentials Liberty, and in All Things Love. Quite a few people have asked about what that means. So last week, if you missed it, you can listen online. But we kind of delved pretty deep into the variety of you know, what this might mean for our beliefs and also for our unity. Like, what unites us? And unfortunately, what divides us? There are many, many reasons why Christians find themselves divided. You know, one of Jesus' last prayers, he said, "May they be one as we are one, Father." Talk about unanswered prayer. The Lord himself prayed this, and still to this day, I think there's a great deal of division. So we split it up into this concentric circle thing, and we had at the center Jesus. That is the central belief, obviously, of those who would seek to be faithful to Jesus. And not just ideas about Jesus, but the person of Christ, Jesus, who walked on this earth, who was crucified and who rose again, and who is returning. And then the next circle was about dogma, and that is something we're actually going to do a series next called I Believe, based on the Apostles' Creed, the dogma of the Christian Church, pretty much what people have believed who were faithful followers of Jesus and to this day continue to hold to be the central truths of the faith. And we're going to talk about those over the next 8 weeks or so. Next one's doctrine, and this is really what divides churches. Lots of things about baptism and the Lord's Supper, and you know, we talked about different denominations. Doctrine's kind of what they decide that we're a separate church. You know, when you get First Baptist, then you get Second Baptist. Something doctrinal probably happened. But actually, something opinion may have happened. Like, there was an argument about the color of the carpets. So they said, we want red carpets over here because that's more biblical. Well, we're going to have purple carpets because that's more biblical. So we break up, right? Happens all the time, right? Opinion is everything else. And sometimes we can get confused. Sometimes the church doesn't have a doctrine about a particular issue. You know, not everything has a doctrine. So the second word was action. We talked about action. And really that is behavior that is motivated by faith. If I believe this, what does it mean for how I live in the world? And then the third one was mission. And I define mission as faith, what we believe, plus action, plus context. So where you live in the world, who is your neighbor? What is the culture around you? How do you be a winsome presence in your community? You know, how do you connect with your community? Like, missionaries do this all the time. Missionaries are all about context. I'm not going to go to some part of the world and assume that everyone's going to have the same kind of basic Western values that I have. The gospel can be born in different manifestations depending on where you are. So thank you for filling some cards in. If you got a worship guide today, hopefully you got a card which has a place for questions. Thank you if you filled them in last week. And I'm going to answer a couple of things. First note, this is not a suggestion card. Or if you got something personal to say to me, like, I really liked your sweater today, Grant. I like the way your hair's growing out. It's looking good. Yeah, keep the beard trimmed. Come and talk to me, talk to Melody, talk to Stephen. This is for things that are related to the content of the sermon or questions you have about our beliefs, etc., right? I reached out to those who put their name on. If you want to identify yourself and have a conversation, I love that. I love to sit and talk about that over a cup of coffee or whatever. So those who did, I tried to reach out and connect with you about your question. But there were three questions that did not have a name, and that's fine. You can just keep it that way, and I'll try and address it on a Sunday. The first one was at faith, action, and mission, and the question was, like, are these sequential? How do they work, your faith to action to mission? And I think I kind of understood the question. The second part of it was how to be more effective in the lives around us. And I think these things, faith, action, mission, are less of a sequence and more of a cycle that we're continually going around this process of understanding what we believe, thinking about how our actions are in line with what we believe, and then thinking about where we live and how that might happen. And really, Jesus is the central part. You know, Jesus gives us a new nature. The Holy Spirit works to give us a new nature. We start to do these things from our new nature by second nature. You find yourself suddenly being kind to someone where previously you might have got a bit ticked off and you're like, wow, something's happened to me. I'm kind of different. Or your family says, man, you're a much nicer person to be around. And you're like, wow, that's it. This is context. My family, my faith, my actions. I love my family. And it's not just, you know, white knuckling it, right? Jesus in the center can change us. The second thing was about tattoos. So I'm going to talk about tattoos, right? Hands up who has a tattoo in this room. Anyone? Some of you are just not admitting to it, right? But the question is a legitimate question. So I just so you know, there's no bad questions. I will never, ever have any kind of dismissive thing about questions because, you know, these are real questions. And it's basically around the idea of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 was a question. How do I understand this passage when it comes to tattoos? Here's what the verse says. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. Interestingly enough, Eugene Peterson, when he wrote The Message, he used the word vandalize the temple. That might be someone, you read a different verbal translation, you can start to think, well, that must be, you know, graffiti on your temple. The most important thing when you're reading scripture is not to take a passage apart from its context, right? So if you read chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, which is a letter to a church that was having a lot of struggles, I'm not sure tattoos was something they were addressing or Paul was addressing in that community, but he tells us at the beginning of that chapter that concludes with this thing about temple, what he's talking about. So here it is. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. And here we go. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? So the point is, you yourselves are the temple, and within this temple of the Holy Spirit, there is quarreling, there is division, there is fighting, and this is a dreadful thing to be happening in the temple of God, which is the church. So here's the thing. If it was a big argument about tattoos that was causing the division, then tattoos might be relevant, okay? But whatever was going on there, these people were breaking apart, disunited, quarreling, and Paul was saying, don't you understand that you are the building that God is building? And it's like the old temple. The Spirit lives in you, the church, and unity is something to be preserved, okay? So whoever filled that in, I hope that helps. Any more information, let me know. The third question was about education, and it was about, do I think that, or do we think that education is important for people teaching in churches? And I would say, yeah, I think education is important. I'd also say it comes in many forms, right? Education comes in many forms, and it's not always a virtue. You may have understood that there are many very, very educated people who are doing a very good job of destroying people's faith, I would say, okay? Very educated, some over-educated people, more smart than I'll ever be, are undermining and destroying people's faith. They think they're doing good. There are some other folks without any formal theological training who are encouraging the saints and building them up in incredible ways, okay? So it's not, education is not just simply the answer. So we ask, what does Scripture tell us? Well, it doesn't talk about seminary, Bible college, but we understand that the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest apostles, was really highly educated. What did he say about his education? He said, I consider it rubbish compared to knowing Christ, okay? Jesus' disciples, here's what it says about them. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized they had been with Jesus, okay? But I think education is important. If you can get education, fantastic. I went to seminary because I believe God called me to study those 4 years and gave me this calling on my life. For me, that is a resource for the church. It is not for me. It is for this body and this group. I believe all of us are called to be educated and to grow, right? Really, it comes down to motivation. What's our education for? Is it to build up the kingdom or is it to build me up? The second thing is we should all be teachable. I think we will become educated the more that we are open and curious about knowledge and about this world. In our church, we take it seriously what we teach. I am accountable to the elders. Melody is accountable also to the elders and to myself and Stephen. We take seriously what we teach. So, you know, we are together a group of many gifts and skills and we check each other, okay? So whoever filled that one in, I hope that helps. If it doesn't, contact me. Wow, this might take a long time each week. So pack a lunch next week. Please fill in a question. Maybe write your name and I can just directly reach out to you, okay? We're going to keep doing the cards through the whole next series, though, in case people have questions. But today, we're moving on. Who's ready for the next part of family? Okay? So, can anyone guess what I stands for? Wow, you guys are all... Huh? Intentional. Okay, it's invitation. Invitation. Faith, action, mission. I is going to be for invitation. When was the last time you received an invitation to something? Was it a wedding? Or a baby shower? Or a birthday party? Or just a meal with friends? Hey, next Tuesday, you want to come over? We'll have some fondue. Right? Something more challenging, like funeral, you know? You know, come and remember this person that we've lost. Or maybe it was an invitation to contribute to something, like a charitable cause or a political cause, or to show up and make your voice heard with others. Or maybe a jury summons. Who currently has one stuck on their fridge right now? Oh, yeah, wow. I can't serve. I'm not a citizen yet, so I can't serve, which, you know. But there you go. But, you know, there's something powerful and meaningful at invitations. If you think about it, an invitation is quite a wonderful, unique, and powerful thing. You know, at their best, they are open doors to community. Most invitations invite you to participate in something with other people. Like for a baby shower, to celebrate the baby that's coming, or for a wedding, to celebrate the joining of a couple, or even a jury duty is to bring some kind of civic duty together to determine guilt or innocence. These are important things, and they're something we do collectively. They're about community. The second thing is they kind of promise something different. When you get an invitation, you're kind of like, oh, it's not like a bill, right? You're like, oh, bummer, another bill. But it's like, wow, something cool. This might be exciting. I might get a new outfit, you know, a new dress or whatever, right? I won't, but, you know, you might. And not only that, but behind the invitation, there's some intention, right? There's the one who sent it, whether they typed the label or they wrote it, it's intentional, this arrival. It tells you that you are unique, that you are an individual who's been selected. Your presence is required, desired, needed, maybe even essential. They are powerful things, invitations. And the first letter here in family we're going to talk about is invitation. You know, they appear in movies, invitations, because everything that is powerful, typically you see in the culture. And I could have a couple of examples of movies that involve an invitation. The first one is this. Recognize this? How happy would you feel if you opened your next Snickers and one of these was in there? Willy Wonka, The Golden Ticket, an invitation to the chocolate factory. Wonderful. The second one is this, Mission Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is this message will explode in 3 seconds or whatever, right? Well, the kingdom of God is an invitation. It's all about an invitation. The kingdom of God is an open door. The kingdom of God is an open door that can never be closed. When Jesus died on the cross, we are told in the Gospels that when he died, that the thick curtain that separated the space where people could enter into the temple from the place where only the high priest could come once a year with great fear and trepidation, the Holy of Holies, the sacred place where God was meant to dwell, was separated. That curtain tore from top to bottom. It's a powerful metaphor for this open door in Jesus dying and sin being taken care of. God moves out into the community and God welcomes the community into intimate communion with himself, with God, and with other people. Invitation. Jesus' first words to those he meets in the Gospels are what? Follow me. Come. Come to me, all you are heavy and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. Those are still his first words. Come, follow me. His followers, it said, followed the way. They were invited into this thing called the way. You know, I said about invitations, at best they are open doors to community. That's what this one is. The kingdom of God is about a welcome and an open door into a community, a significant community. The kingdom of God promises something different from the humdrum routine human life of eating and sleeping and working and whatever it is you do to get through the day. From birth to death, there's something unique, magnificent, this invitation. There's intention involved in its arrival in your life. It is purposely given. It is unique. It tells you that you're unique, an individual who has been selected. Your presence is requested, desired, needed, essential even. This thing over here, we say, we share with you what we have seen and heard, this banner here, so that you might have fellowship with us, with God in Christ, and together make our joy complete. We, together with you, will make our joy complete. So our cultural creations, our movies and our books and things, I think they speak strongly about this idea of invitation as being something meaningful and something powerful and something true. And I think it's wonderful. Jesus, in his day, used parables. He talked about the cultural understandings of the day, like farmers sowing seed and all the kind of things he talked about. I think movies can sometimes be modern-day parables. So we're going to think about this a bit with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I was going to watch Wonka, but you have to pay for it, the new one. And I'm Scottish, so there's no way I'm going to pay for it. So if anyone has the DVD, please lend it to me. I just don't mock America. Basically every country's got its dumb stuff. You know, apparently we're tight-fisted. I disagree, but. So I'm kind of more about the first one, Roald Dahl. I like books, right? So that's Charlie. Charlie Bucket, his name was. Charlie Bucket. And you know, his family was poor. Think of this. Think of this as a kind of a parable, okay? We're gonna think about it. The kingdom of God is like. Charlie Bucket was poor. His family all lived together. They all slept in one bed. Charlie loved chocolate. And for his birthday, he would get one bar of chocolate every birthday. And apparently, he would make it last the whole month. He'd keep it for 3 days or so without even touching that thing. And then he would open it up and he would nibble the corner and he would make that last because he had very little. So chocolate was delightful to him. But then it actually, in the book, it says that he would walk past the chocolate shop. Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, because the biggest chocolate factory, candy factory in the world happened to be in his city, in his town. So I'm going to read this to you. This is a little modern parable. It says, outside the walls, for half a mile around in every direction, the air was scented with the heavy, rich smell of melting chocolate. Twice a day on his way to and from school, little Charlie Bucket had to walk right past the gates of the factory. And every time he went by, he would begin to walk very, very slowly. And he would hold his nose high in the air and take long, deep sniffs of the gorgeous chocolatey smell all around him. Oh, how he loved that smell. And oh, how he wished he could go inside the factory and see what it was like. Do you get a feeling of something wonderful and marvelous? It's tantalizing, that's attractive, that this aroma. The kingdom of God is an invitational kingdom, and it's very like this. The kingdom of God, there's an aroma of life that comes into this world that invites us into something that's desirous. The deepest longings of our human hearts. His deepest longing was to enjoy some chocolate, which was something he didn't think he could get very often. He would treasure it. And every time he walked past the source of this, the smell would captivate him. The kingdom of God is an invitational kingdom. It's a presence and it draws us in. But there are obstacles to many of the things on the earth that we desire and we long for, don't they? And in Charlie's Chocolate Factory, there were obstacles. And here's the main one. The Wonka invitation was very limited, right? In the book it says, I, Willy Wonka, have decided to allow 5 children, just 5, mind you, and no more, to visit my factory this year. And the invitation was so rare. Unless you opened that chocolate bar with an invitation, you were not going to get into that factory. You would be this hungry, longing person walking by the closed, locked gates of the factory. The kingdom of God is nothing like this. It is all are welcome. Everyone is invited to participate. There's an invitation with your name on it saying, come, follow me, enter in. And all of your longings, the deep longings of your heart that you live with every day, you will find rest for your soul in this place. Jesus, one of the last things in the Bible recorded as what Jesus says, you always think Jesus speaks in the Gospels. There's some red letters in the other books of the Bible. You know the red letters, they mark, these are Jesus's words. In Revelation, one of the last things in the whole of the Bible is attributed to Jesus saying this, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Invitation. Mission Impossible. That could also be a modern parable for this idea of invitation. Look at this guy. You know how old he is? He's 178. And he looks like 18, right? He's 61, actually. Tom Cruise is 61. You know, his like daily routine of fitness and workout is like intense. He does everything, just crazy sports and all day long working hard. You know, he works so hard. He does all of his own stunts. See some of them there. No stunt double. He does it. So I was thinking about the parable of this. Your mission grants should you choose to accept it. Thinking about me. I'm a little fitter than I was back in Christmas time because I've been really trying to pay more attention to my health because I'm 55, he's 61, right? But I was thinking about it, your mission, should you choose to accept it, grant danger, extreme feats of agility and strength, quick thinking in crisis, car chases and explosions. And I'm like, I am not a measure of any kind of mission. Well, then I think about how that is different from the kingdom of God. In God's kingdom, it is mission possible. It's not impossible. My mission, should I choose to accept it? Philip Yancey, who's written quite a lot of books, great writer, wrote this. Many people have said forms of this, but God doesn't call the equipped, the smart, the brilliant, the strong, the wealthy, the powerful. God equips the called. The call comes first, and then he will shape us for what he's calling us into. And you have been called. So what does it look like to accept the invitation? Lands on your doormat. Hopefully your dog doesn't eat it. And you get the invitation to this kingdom of God. You've felt the longings. You've sensed the aroma. And you have a desire to come. Well, it's the next letter in family is this. And it's love. Love. As those great theologians, Anna and Hans, from the movie Frozen, wake up, guys. Put it. Love is. Can you sing it, anyone? Not you, Melody. Oh, why did I ask that? Yeah. Love is an open door. God's kingdom is an open door. And it's an open door into love. We have some muddy ideas of what love is, but it's love that carries and delivers the invitation. And those who receive and accept the invitation are invited into love. The love of God the Father for his creation, God so loved the world. The love of God the Son, made witness to in tears and blood and death and resurrection. The love of God the Spirit, whose still small voice broadcasts this invitation to our senses and to our hearts and to our minds in the mountains and the forests and the sunrises and the sunsets, in the streets and the homes and the factories and the schools and the bars and the malls and yes, even in our churches. The invitation is broadcast. Love is the central defining quality of the kingdom of God, and it's nothing that we have experienced before. And if we believe that there is a God whose character and will are the central, most important reality of all of reality and creation, then we should pay close attention to what he wants. When we step through that door, what is it he wants? us to be about. And if we believe in the God who invited us into this life, this invitation, we should expect to be challenged and redirected. When you're invited to something, it's not your normal everyday life. You're invited. You have to figure out how to be present with the others who were also invited. There's a whole world there that requires you to probably change. And if this world is about this love, then if you know yourself, like I know myself, love can be quite small for me and diminished. There's many reasons for that. But in Mark chapter 12, one of the Gospels says this, one of the teachers of the law came, very smart, educated man, by the way, and asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one asked for Jesus is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and with your mind, with your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Love is a central reality of God's kingdom. But not only that, love is also the evidence how we love that we have understood and accepted the invitation. There's an amazing story in chapter 7 of the Gospel of Luke about this woman who comes into this party that's being held that Jesus was invited to. And it was by some very distinguished people, some very righteous people, very moral people, very powerful people. And at one point in this proceedings, this woman barges in to the proceedings and she pours out this lavish love and affection. And just actually in that time and in that context, a horrifying display of gratuitous love, right? And the people were concerned what manner of woman this was, etc. How could this man, if he's a prophet, even let this woman touch him, let alone let her do what she's doing right now? And they're very concerned about Jesus's behavior. And he says this. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. And then he says this. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. Her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. It's an evidence that we realize the magnitude of this invitation, what it has meant for us, that God has made it possible for us to step into this world, his kingdom, what it cost him, the reality of it, what we have been forgiven, and what incredible promise there is, should bring from us this sense of love. You heard another song, they will know we are Christians by our, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Last week in our reflection on the first three letters, we talked about faith and action and mission. And that's all really great, you know. Belief is important, action is important, right belief, right action. Mission is important, but Paul, in his letter again to the Corinthians, writes this. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast. It is not proud, does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is not just for weddings. I'm gonna invite the band up as we go to the final word and the word, letter in the word family. Really grateful for our worship team, by the way. Just grateful for them. Yeah. Okay, can anyone guess what Y stands for? Huh? You. Look at that. That's the first one you guys have got right. I think we're getting the hang of this. Faith, action, mission, invitation, love, you. We have an individual choice. One of the most powerful phrases that the kingdom of God has given us is, I have a choice in this. You know, Scripture talks about the fact that we have been slaves to sin. We're kind of incapable of doing the right. And God has set us free from that slavery, that bondage, and has given us the freedom to walk with the Spirit and to move in step with Him and to grow and learn and in a spirit of grace where we mess up. And it does not change anything, such as the powerful forgiveness and grace of God. We have been given a choice to grasp this invitation. And there's another wonderful parable that Jesus told, which we're going to sing these kind of words in a minute. And it's in Luke chapter 14. So just get imaginative. You want to close your eyes maybe even. Just like, let's get enter in. You know, it's a really good thing when you read Scripture to try and place yourself in this story. So Jesus once again is at a meal. He went to a lot of meals. That's why we eat a lot at church, because it's faithful Christianity. But He was doing this, and He was talking about the kingdom of God. And it says, when one of those at the table with Him heard what he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat in the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Something presumptuous about that, isn't there? That those who somehow maybe assume they've been invited. You know, it's like the phrase that comes to mind, "What do you want, a written invitation?" You ever said that to anyone? Like when dinner's ready and your kids are not coming? What do you want, a written invitation? Dinner's getting cold. There is an invitation in front of us and the door is open and we're called to receive it, which is an act of the will. It doesn't mean you have to clean all your life up. It just means simply an assent to say, "I will put my trust and faith in this. I receive this invitation." We can't partially accept an invitation. Maybe some of us who are introverts have done that. Sure, I'll accept the invitation, but then stand outside or sit in the car in the parking lot and then drive home again, right? Because I'm kind of scared to go in. You can't really partially accept an invitation. It's a wholehearted thing. You're either going or you're not going. Maybe you can show up half-heartedly and stand in the corner, ignore people, right? But you've accepted it, right? So you're invited. You are invited. And the second thing is you are loved. You are loved first before you ever love God or love anyone. You, just as you are loved right now, today. And you have love to give. You already have love to give, and God wants to be a conduit for His love to pour into you and through you. So what is the way we enter into this kingdom? How do we accept the invitation? Well, it's a word called repentance. And we have a lot of confusion about this word repentance. What does it mean? Does it mean I'm a terrible person? Woe is me. I'm awful. I've got to screw up my whole being to think of myself as evil enough that God will accept me because I've finally given in to that truth. Well, really, it's not about that. It's simply about a change of mind and a change of direction. And it is about love. Repentance is simply confessing this. I confess that I have not loved as I should. I have confessed that I have not and I do not love as I should. Considering all that I've been given, the freedom I've been given, I confess that I lack the power to love as I should. I can't actually do this very well. That's my second confession. First, I confess that I've not loved as I should. Second, I confess I lack the power. And thirdly, we ask for and seek each day to receive the power to love as we should. This invitation is every single morning. What is His mercies are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness, O God. My faithfulness is not very great. God's is very great. This is my repentance, Lord. I cannot love as I should. I don't have the power. Empower me to love as I should. Love makes the difference. We have full participation. Briefly going to show you this little banner we saw outside the school in Covina as we're walking our dog, and I just thought, wow. A school says this, attendance matters, showing up together. Remember, it's an invitation into community, a participation, which will cause us to have to deal with the other guests at the party, right? I think this is a wonderful thing. We should have it outside our church, but you know, people don't like it's legalistic. That's legalistic. No, it's a gift. This invitation is a gift. Your presence is required at this event, and we will not be the complete body that we will be without your presence with us. There's no solo participation here. Final thing is this, we are not customers. Many things in our world, we are customers. Here, we are guests. We are not customers, we are guests. Secondly, we are not consumers here. We are servants. It's the beautiful to and fro. We are those who are invited, and we are also those who invite. We've received hospitality, and we give hospitality. This is our kingdom life. So the band's going to lead us in singing this song. Would you stand, please, as we do this? Because I think we sing better. As my choir director said in high school, stand up. We sing much better when we have this, you know, standing position, right? If you can't stand, don't. I'm not going to make you. Sorry. And if you can't sing, make melody in your heart to the Lord. So we're going to sing the song. It's called Vagabonds. And it's based on that scripture about go out to the highways and byways, bring them in, let the house be full. Let's sing that. And then we're going to have a time where we take communion. Let's sing together. Awesome. Love that song. We're going to come to communion now. Yes. Yeah, and so, yeah, there's going to be a station at the back and a station at the front. And this is, I want to tell you, Jesus still invites us to the table. Jesus invited his friends to make preparation to come to the table prior to his descent into death on our behalf, prior to his resurrection from the grave to bring us life. He invited a whole ragtag bunch of people to come and have communion with him. To commune, and he brought this new meaning. So this is my body, and this is my blood, and we have people have done this for centuries now, all over the world today. People are doing this thing on the Lord's Day to say, "This is our proclamation and declaration that we have moved from death to life. He is our King and our Lord and our Savior and our friend. We have received this invitation, and we leave our seats and we are come to receive the bread and the cup." To declare to all the powers of darkness and all the world stuff, whatever, that we are his. We are one, we are family. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with them, and they will eat with me." This is what we're doing this morning. It's an act of the will to say, "Lord Jesus, I come. I want to follow you, take my life." So in your own time, you can come and take the piece of bread and the cup, take it back to your seat, and we'll all take it shortly together to remember that we are one body. Pray. Lord, thank you that we don't need to know everything. Thank you that you don't call those who have everything and who are in the world's eyes, the powerful ones. You call those of us who recognize that we are fragile, that we are troubled with the frailty of our bodies and our minds, our life experiences. Lord, we are those who grieve and seek your comfort. with those who often wander and seek your direction. We seek your wisdom, Lord, your hope. And we take this bread and we remember that you have walked in our shoes, on our streets. You have sat at our tables. You've experienced the evil of this world, but you have conquered. And you do this on our behalf. You bring all of us with you. We take this bread and with gratitude, thank you, Lord, for life and freedom. Be with us, Lord, we pray. Amen. And we confess, Lord, that we have not loved as we should. We confess, Lord, that we lack the power to love as we should. And Lord, we ask today that you would give us the power to love, to receive your love, and to share that love. Thank you that we share this cup as a reminder that you won that freedom for us, that our bones, our muscles, our nerve endings, our minds and our hearts coursed with the lifeblood of our Lord Jesus. We are not stuck anymore. We are free. And we declare this freedom with this cup in Jesus' name. Amen. Nourish your people, Lord. Holy Spirit, we give you our lives and we thank you for your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen.